Hello, this is Women Are Not Funny Radio. I am Kay Ballard, your host. This is Fitness Month on Women Are Not Funny, and today we're going to be talking with Holly Binge, a highly credentialed New Jersey fitness trainer. Oh, and I just remembered, she is also my sister. We'll be asking her, since we're seeking the truth here after all, if it's really necessary for me to get fit, for you to get fit, I mean, do we really have to bother? We shall seek answers. But first, those of you who've been my longtime listeners, those who've been listening and hoping that I'll bring it up, are very familiar with both my annoying Ann Curry style and my expressions of annoyment with her annoying Ann Curry style. You may remember that back in the early days of Women Are Not Funny, I would begin every show with a diatribe about Ann Curry. Now, I did this for several reasons. I realized that it was a rather adorable and novel form of self-deprecation that had the additional benefit of permitting me to associate myself with a well-known, highly successful, highly regarded female news personality. And I like to believe that it was beneficial to both of us. It was beneficial to her as well, because I believe that the attention I gave her really helped her with her ratings. And, of course, it increased my own notoriety. It was something that is sometimes referred to as a, and this may be a new expression for you, this may be the first time you've heard it, but there's an expression, win-win. It was kind of a win-win. And it had the additional benefit of being based on the truth. But then something rather awful happened. You may recall I hired that blamed comedy coach, the one who told me that I was remarkably unfunny. And true though it was, it caused me to lose my mojo and abandon my favorite comedy construct, the one I loved the most, which was my hatred of Ann Curry. Well, I just want you to know that fortunately, listeners have spoken. Three or more of our millions of listeners wrote me this week to recommend that I not let Ann Curry off the hook. One of them went so far as to actually call her an idiot. Now, what they were referring to was an incident that was reported this week, and we'll call it the latest Ann Curry shenanigan. You see, she was invited to speak at a college commencement. And I just say as an aside that this year, once again, no college nor university invited me to speak at their commencement. You know, I don't really understand that, but they did invite her. And so she went. She was invited to speak at the commencement of Wheaton College. So, you know, Anne kind of did the sort of thing that I like to do, which is name drop. She did a Google search, and, you know, arguably she did, probably an assistant did, but the Google search didn't go far enough. So she found the names of prominent alumni of Wheaton College and used them in her speech, only to learn that, yes, those people were alums of Wheaton College, but the wrong Wheaton College, not the one that she was speaking at. So it was a little bit of a problem, and she made the most gracious apologies, you know. She didn't say, for example, you must forgive me, please forgive me. She didn't say, you must forgive me because I'm an idiot, or you must forgive me, but please give me points for trying so hard. And she didn't even say, you must forgive me, but ever hear of video editing? And the fact of the matter is, she didn't even have to say that, because apparently at Wheaton College, they had heard of video editing, and they quickly reassured her that her speech would live in posterity with the wrong graduates' names cut out. So that's how that one came out. And, you know, I think in its own way, it really, she was a little endearing. You know, she got it wrong, and she was there. You know, it was a teaching moment for everyone. We all learned something about Google search, how you have to do, you know, you have to go a little further than Google search. And we also learned that video editing can many times save the day. So that was just a wonderful thing to learn. Now, item number two. As you know, because many of you are members, we have a list here on Women Are Not Funny Radio, a list of people called the Awesome Pretties, and it has two main benefits. One is that you receive show notes each week to remind you of who our guest is going to be. And the second benefit is that it permits you to stake your claim as someone who is awesome and pretty. And it is, although it might seem otherwise, it is a gender-neutral list, because goodness knows we have men in the Awesome Pretties who are quite awesome and quite pretty. Now, here is the reason I bring it up. If you have not yet joined the Awesome Pretties, and if you can make the claim that you are both awesome and pretty, I say join. I say, you know, it's honor system. Do it. But today something very, very sad happened, and I had to report it to our chief pretty officer, our CPO, Paula Kelly, and that is that one of our members of the Awesome Pretties resigned. And I don't know what to say about that. Paula came to the conclusion that the person just simply did not measure up and resigned on that basis. So I, you know, don't know about that. Now, item number three, last week's show. Caroline Radway was our guest, and if you recall, she is a very well-known fitness instructor in Great Britain with a specialty in the kettlebell. She's also quite athletic and designs fitness programs to prepare people for their participation in athletics. And I really wanted to talk with Caroline. I have known her for over a year, and I wanted to find out what was going on with her, but I also wanted personal encouragement to have some sort of dealings with my own personal kettlebells. And I don't know that we ever resolved the situation. You know, she recommended to me that I, to get started, would just pick one up and carry it across the room. And I thought, well, the simplicity of that is most appealing, even if it is a little bit scary. But I'm here to report that I actually tried it. I just walked right over to the kettlebells, and I picked one up, and I carried it across the room. And as I was doing that, I said to myself things like this: I can do this. And then, you know, very quickly I realized that I didn't really want to, because it really wasn't very much fun, and it felt really pretty stupid to carry the kettlebell across the room. So then I thought to myself, well, I will carry two. I will carry both of them, one in each hand, and I'll walk across the room with my kettlebells. Did that too. Really wasn't too great. And you know, perhaps our guest today can help me understand some of the reasons I didn't enjoy that more. But if you recall, one of the things that Caroline and I determined is that it would be a good idea if I were to hire her to be my online personal trainer. And to me it sounds, you know, pretty cool to have an online personal trainer living in the UK when you are in the United States. you know, it's kind of cool, very international. And we came up with an excellent fitness goal for me, and that was for me to become her most annoying client without, as she puts it, getting sacked. So that is still a very good possibility. It just hasn't come to pass. And I did try her idea of carrying the kettlebell across the room, so I wanted you to know that I had done that. And somehow it didn't seem to have an amazing fitness effect like you would expect. You would think if you carried a kettlebell across the room, that would pretty much take care of your fitness needs. But, you know, apparently I still need to gain some strength. Well, today's guest, as I mentioned, and I had no choice but to do it, is not only a fitness expert, she also has the rare distinction of being my sister. I mean, let's face it, you only have one sister unless you have two or more. And in our case, we simply do not. She is my only sister, and some of you are going to want to know birth order. And all I can tell you is you've heard of a starter home, you've heard of a starter car, perhaps. Well, there is a concept of a starter family or a starter child. And I would never admit to being older, but I will admit to being my parents' starter child. And apparently, I was so exemplary that they decided to continue along that line, using me as a model and bring out some other children. Now, Holly Binge, my sister, admittedly, is somewhat prepared for the fact that I start every guest with two questions that in the case of a sister might seem a bit suspicious, but she assured me that she did not want me to play favorites or take special pains with her. So I have no choice but to ask you, Holly, are you using your appearance on Women Are Not Funny Radio as a stepping stone to something better?
Absolutely not. I have no personal ambition, so no.
Oh, that is so true. But, you know, can you tell me that you haven't given it a tiny bit of thought, the idea that you might actually take over my show?
You know, if the people want that, then we'll go there. But, you know, let's not talk about that yet. We'll just see how it all plays out.
See, I can tell you do, and you do want it, and it just follows a pattern that you have followed your entire life where you just copy me, you know. And as I mentioned, and I mention it on every possible occasion, I am formerly a fitness instructor myself. I was a aerobics instructor when aerobics dancing was very cool. But, of course, now that that's no longer cool and there are other, you know, I went on to other things and there are other cool things. But it really kind of begs the question, besides the fact that you were, obviously, you idolized me as the starter child in our family, mm-hmm. You copied me and became a fitness instructor, but some people hire a fitness instructor, and then some people are fitness instructors, and you went from one to the other. I just would like to know how that happened.
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I did copy you. You know, you were an aerobics instructor first, and I've often looked at things that you've done in your life, and I've said, wow, Kay did that. How could I do this bigger and better? And then I go and make my step. And so thank you so much for so often doing things in a little way that somehow spark in my mind what I can do and allow me to achieve such greatness. So thank you. I really appreciate it, and I really mean it.
You know what? You are saying that, but what I hear is frustration, you know, and having such an example.
I hear no frustration in your voice. Please don't be frustrated with me. I didn't mean that.
Oh, Holly, you know what? I am glad that you said, and I hope it's true, that you do not want me to play favorites. And I will not play favorites. I'm going to treat you like any old other guest. In fact, if you think just because you're my sister that you have a better opportunity than others to win Women Are Not Funny's I Want a Date with Hugh Jackman contest, if you think for one moment that being my sister is going to give you a leg up, well, let me put it this way. It might have, but not anymore. So, anyway, I do, you know, I am a bright beacon of light, and you're just somewhere in orbit. Let me ask you this. I mean, seriously, I really want to know, how did you go from being a client of a personal trainer to becoming a personal trainer? I mean, did you just wake up one day and it happened, or did you, you know, did someone challenge you? How did that work?
Well, I mentioned before that I have no ambition.
Right.
I did mention that, right? Okay. So what happened?
Everyone knows
is,
that, Holly. Everyone knows that.
I know. Well, but a lot of people listening don't know me. So I'm just putting it out there. You know,
okay,
I
just one
really
moment. Let's take a time out. Let's take a time out.
Okay.
Listeners, I want to assure you, when Holly Binge says she has no ambition, it's the truth. It's the truth. And not only is it the truth as she knows it, it's the truth that we all know. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so anyway, I've always been a person who's as an adult, who's worked out, exercised in some way, shape, or form. Not because of sheer love for it or joy in it, but because I've always believed and known that it would bite me back if I didn't go ahead and take care of my body and, you know, keep myself strong and fit and all that. But I always looked at it as just a necessary evil, nothing that I really gained any great joy from. But about 6 years ago, I started going to a studio in my town that I'd driven by a bazillion times, but I'd never walked in because it was a little intimidating from the street, something about it. But one day I walked in, and I started going to group classes there. And in all sincerity, it was the most fun I'd ever had working out. It was exhilarating. It was so much fun to be there. The people were so nice, not only the personnel that worked there, but the clientele. It was just a really warm, inviting place to be. And it was like going to the best party I'd ever been to every time I went to work out, which was a very different experience for me, and I would guess for most people. You know, I think that's probably true. So I found myself, at first I was going like twice a week, and then pretty soon I was going three times a week, and then it occurred to me I could go every day if I wanted to. So I started working out there every day. And I guess after about a year, the guy who owned the studio, he probably just kind of felt sorry for me, and he came over to me and said, you ought to think about being a trainer. I think that you'd be really good at it. And so that speaks to the part of my lack of ambition. It didn't even occur to me. It's just because he came to me, placed it in my hands, and pulled me along and taught me what I needed to know and took me on a path. And that's my story. That's my story.
Well, it's a great story, and I think that it is very clear to anyone who knows us, and certainly very clear to us, that, well, let me ask you this. Did we come from an athletic family?
I would say no. However, we did play very vigorous games of slapjack.
Well, that is true. And when I was in the third grade, I did own a yo-yo. Mm. But, you know, other than that, I think it's remarkable that both of us went down this path. And for me, of course, it was quite briefly. But you have done the thing that I failed to do. Now, I was certified. I was a certified aerobics instructor. But what that meant, actually, was that I was with this program, and then every 3 months I would go to these clinics. Many times they were cross country, but I would travel to clinics for training, and I would learn new choreography. So that was really what it amounted to. And then there was some fitness testing that they performed on us. But you are actually certified by two very prestigious organizations. One is Gyrotonic. And the mm-hmm. other is the Cooper Institute. You're a certified personal trainer from their organization. And those are both very prestigious, and they both have required a good bit of work and expense and learning and testing and all sorts of things. So, you know, obviously I know nothing about gyrotonic, since I never can remember even what to call it or how to say it. So tell me one more time what gyrotonic is.
With pleasure. I'll tell you as often as you want to know. So
yeah,
it's like any, it has all the same benefits of any kind of workout you might do. However, the emphasis is on posture alignment and overall flexibility. So particularly as we get older, so many people suffer from back pain, from you know, they easily break bones or tear ligaments, and that's all a result of lack of flexibility and poor posture. Unless it's an injury, most back pain is a result of poor posture. So that's what gyrotonic is about. You're moving and strengthening all of the muscles in your body to hold up your skeleton, rather than the skeleton holding the weight of your body and the muscle. You're holding up the skeleton with your muscle. How's that?
Well, it's kind of
esoteric.
It's extremely appealing. One of the things that I have read over and over again is that once you reach adulthood, if you have bad posture, there's very little that you can do to correct that.
Well, that's true. However, if you have poor posture, as you age, your posture just continues to deteriorate. So you can absolutely stop the deterioration. And you can reverse some, but it requires a lot of work and commitment on your part. But if you see someone, you know how you see older people sometimes walking along and they are so hunched over, they're looking at the floor all the time, and it's a lot of work for them to lift their head and look up. I don't want to be that way. And so for me, it's great incentive to keep myself upright and working. That's
well,
the only incentive I need.
That makes perfect sense. And I think one of the obvious signs of aging is to not be moving well. But one thing you might consider, and I don't know this from personal experience, this is just what I've heard, but if you are stooped over looking at the ground, you can pick up other people's pocket change. And so it could be kind of a lucrative way to walk around the earth, you know.
Yeah, but you can't necessarily see when, a lamppost is going to hit you in the face. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know how much money you really find on the floor, on the ground. I don't know. But there are a lot of signs and posts and, you know, hazards.
That's
like
all
that.
True. That is all true, Holly. But economic times are hard. Just remember that, you know. And
all the more reason why there's not going to be a lot of money on the ground. People are holding on to the money they have.
Oh, excellent
point. You know I'm right. I think you should just back off at this point because.
Yeah, I do too. Well, let me ask you this. So now we know about gyrotonics, and what you didn't say, but I want listeners to know, is that a large part of this involves working out on an apparatus of a very specific apparatus.
In gyrotonic, there are actually 7 or 8 large pieces of specialized equipment we use. I train on the primary piece called a gyrotonic pulley tower. It's a pulley weight system. So you use straps on either your wrists or your elbows, knees, or ankles, and you manipulate the weight that's attached to cables. It was developed by a classical ballet dancer, and so all of the movements that you do, you try to move in such a way that it looks as though you're carrying no weight. So if you imagine, if you think about a dancer, the way they move, it looks so easy and relaxed and fluid, yet you know there's enormous power and strength in that person to be able to move like that. True?
Well, true, but when I think about a dancer, I think about me, you know, because I'm certainly a dancer. Now, here is the thing that I am curious about, and I know so much, but I don't know this. How would you say your certification with the Cooper Institute complements your certification with Gyrotonic?
Well, in a lot of ways. One, it just gives me additional credential credibility. And a lot of people don't relate to things like Gyrotonic, but if they see that you're a personal trainer, you know, certified personal trainer, that, you know, that clicks, that registers. So
yeah, with Cooper's no less. That with Cooper Institute no less, right?
Absolutely. But and on a more practical level from day to day, I incorporate things all the time, traditional kinds of movement in what I do on the tower. Also, a lot of people, it's more meaningful to people some way of speaking than it is to others. So I have a couple of clients who are actually physicians, and so I use the Cooper Institute language, which is more medical. Like, you know, you're going to do a spinal extension, a spinal flexion. Whereas in gyrotonic terms, a spinal extension is an arch. A spinal flexion is a curl. So there are things like that. It helps me relate to my clients better in a way that's meaningful to them. Certainly, that's true. Also, I have clients that want straight-on personal training. They don't want gyrotonic. So I do just, you know, traditional kinds of things. But I would like to say I incorporate a lot of the gyrotonic movements in the framework of a traditional workout.
Well, can I ask you this?
You can ask anything.
I'm just curious. Yeah, I do any of your clients like you?
My clients adore me. And, okay. It's like one of those, you know, I'm like a movie star to them, basically, which it's hard to keep a little space between, you know, them and me. But it's just one of the things that you have to deal with as a trainer.
I understand
it's a pretty sexy profession. You know that, right?
I understand it all too well, and I understand, you know, the whole issue of having fans and having rabid fans and having fans who don't understand boundaries. I understand
really,
that.
I call them groupies, actually. Mm-hmm. They're like groupies. But anyway,
and they
go
are.
Ahead.
Mm-hmm. They are that. Now, despite the fact that I'm in every way a modern woman, you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the 21st century was yesterday. I'm way out ahead of it. But here's one way where I'm pretty old-fashioned. I mean, well, let me just ask you this for your opinion. When do you think summer starts? What day does summer start? Do you know?
It depends on where you are. What do you mean? I mean, you know.
Well, to me.
Are you talking about, the United States? Are you talking about Australia? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, there's that. What I'm talking about is here. Because, you know, I will say it, even though I make claims of being international, I can totally be the ugly American. And I'm talking USA. I'm talking here in the USA. For me, even though I'm beyond modern, for me, I have this kind of old school attitude about summer that it starts on June 1st.
And does that have to do with when you're going to let yourself wear white, or is this something else?
It is totally unrelated to that. But what I would like to be able to do is tell our listeners that you have the June 1st, since it's the first day of summer and it's only 3 days away, what I really want to know is what sort of fitness program you have for my listeners that will permit them to become beautifully fit in 3 days' time.
Oh, between now and June 1st.
Right.
Oh, they're going to drink lots of water. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take their shoes off right now. Are you taking yours off?
They're off.
They are off, okay. Good. And they're going to point their toes, point. And then they're going to flex and push through their heels. And then they're going to spread their toes as wide as they can and wiggle them. And then they're going to point again. And then they're going to flex and wiggle their toes. And then they're going to drink a big glass of water. That's it.
Oh, man. Do you
realize?
That's
it. That's all. Yeah, I know.
That sounds like enough. And you know what? I did the workout along with you. And
you did. Oh, I'm glad.
It was great. I feel so much better. And I do believe that this is going to be one of the most popular programs in our archives. People will be
blessed.
Tuning
you,
in.
Listen, no, but I need to know, are you cramping at all? Do you have any soreness?
No, actually, no. My feet feel wonderful.
I'm glad. That's great.
They
That's
feel
really good.
Wonderful.
That's good.
I mean, I don't want to trump you or anything. There's only one thing I would add to it. I would say get a pedicure first, and then while you're doing that workout, you can admire your feet.
Well, that's true, but I don't like to place too many requirements on my clients to begin with. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I like to start easy and slow. And I just said take your shoes off. I didn't say take your socks off.
Mm-hmm.
You can leave your socks on when you do that.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know, you really are behind. And it's amazing to me because, you know, I am the starter child, but
mm-hmm.
I am clearly the more youthful one, although I think both of us would have to admit that we were born before chicken nuggets were really the rage, you know, for children. But
I would say that's true, yes.
We, you know, we did not come from an athletic family, and we've actually, you and I have talked about our mother here on Women Are Not Funny Radio before, but I was just kind of thinking, even though we weren't athletic, did we get any sort of guidance from her about fitness? I mean, you pointed out when we had her birthday show, you pointed out that she was really on the cutting edge because she was among the early adopters of television exercise when she worked out with her friends with Jack LaLanne.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's true.
So I started thinking about, you know, kind of fitness advice that we got from our mother, and I came up with a very, very extremely short list.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hear it because they may have more substance, and you don't always have to have a long list.
That's true.
If the things
that is
have
true.
A lot of
that
substance,
is true.
Right?
In fact, less fitness advice and more just general health. Okay.
Okay. Well, let's hear what you got. Let's hear.
Okay. Well, I mean, one thing I think she was a big believer in is that there were times when maybe you should just eat a cracker, you know. I'm not advocating it. I'm just saying that our mother, from time to time, would tell us, she wouldn't say eat a cracker, but she might say something like, well, maybe you would like a cracker. You know, maybe if your stomach were unsettled or something, she'd say, well, would you like a cracker? Or maybe you would like a cracker. I mean, wouldn't that, in the context of our family, wouldn't that fit into fitness advice?
Absolutely. That's what I said. Blood sugar. She was monitoring our blood sugar at all times, which I really like that. I like thinking about that. Okay. What else?
All right. How about this one? She said, and my father said it, too, and they both said it to me in particular, I think, because I was a starter child, but be careful.
Be careful. Well, you know, I think about how so often we hear to save the whales, save the earth, conserve our planet, But, you know, that really speaks to save your body. Conserve your body. So I like that, too. I think that's a good one. Thinking
all right. Well, what about this? I don't remember how she said it, but she always recommended it. And, I mean, one of the times I do remember, because it just struck me as being so oppressive, it was the first time I came home from college. You know, I came back home from college. I had been there living in the dorm on my own. I came home, and she told me I should wear a coat. She said, "Don't you want to wear a coat?"
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I
mean, that
there
is
healthy. Again, I think, you know, hypothermia is a horrendous problem that people experience sometimes. So, especially working out without proper gear. So I like that one, too. I think that has some real meaning.
We got a lot of really good advice from her, didn't we?
We basically did. I think when you hear, you know, when you think about it at first, maybe it doesn't seem that way. But if you step back and evaluate, it was like homespun wisdom that actually had some real, you know, some real teeth.
Yeah, it was directed at helping us be more fit and more healthy. So how about this one?
Okay.
This one is crucial. If a dog licked your hand mm-hmm. or any part of your body, mm-hmm. you should remember where the dog licked you and at the earliest possible moment go and wash off the dog slobber.
Yeah, well, that really has no, you know, basis of mean. You know, I don't think that one's so meaningful. What else do you have?
You know what? It's actually scientific, and I'll tell you why. I know. My ex-father-in-law
mm-hmm.
considered this very carefully. I think
mm-hmm.
the very idea that the reason dogs would bury their bones is so that they could get mold on them. Then they could dig them up, eat the moldy bones, and it would have the effect of, you know, something like penicillin or something.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I realized that his theory would kind of disprove hers, wouldn't it?
It would, exactly.
In other words, he had the theory that dog slobber was medicinal, and
yeah.
she had the theory that dog slobber was harmful.
Infectious somehow.
Infectious
right.
and dangerous and so forth. And, you know, it's one of those things, it just shows how far science has to go and how much research is needed.
Right, and how little we understand.
How little we understand. But you know what? That reminds me of something else that we talked about a little earlier today. I told you of my awareness of some sort of new fitness apparatus that involves a person standing on it and just getting shaken all, you know, totally shaken, just extreme
right.
teeth rattling, the whole thing.
Right.
And you only do it for 15 minutes, but it's supposed to be extremely effective, if in nothing else, in just getting you all rattled. And some people are buying into it because, you know, it supports the idea that you can have some sort of great fitness benefit in 15 minutes' time, that you could somehow compress the amount of time that is required and really not have to do any work. You just
right.
have to be willing to submit yourself to a really good shaking. But there hasn't been a lot of research to determine what the long-term effect of having your entire body just completely...
Right, rattled.
Rattled, exactly, rattled. And so, you know, it is just one more sign that there's not enough research. Now, I asked you, you had not really heard of that apparatus, but it didn't surprise you that such a thing would exist. But you are familiar with what is apparently all the rage, and that is hot yoga.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
So do you advocate this?
I think only in America would we heat a room up to an ungodly temperature and work out. Everywhere else in the world where they have ungodly temperatures, the people are smart enough to not work during the time of the day when it's really hot. They go and rest and, you know, avoid it.
Well, exactly.
Here we pay to seek it out. It's just kind of, you know,
When I first heard about hot yoga, I just, you know, I couldn't really believe it. I really couldn't believe it. But a lot of people are advocating it and saying, you know, they say such things like, oh, man, I can't believe I survived it. Mm-hmm. Oh, you've got to go do it, you know, because I survived it. You've got to go see if you can
survive it.
Somebody's
going to get hurt, and then it will stop. Someone will get seriously hurt, and then other people will come forward and say they got seriously hurt, and it'll stop.
And it'll all be over, won't it?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Someone will die. Someone will, one of the big problems with it, when your muscles get really, really warm, you have hyperflexibility, which is really terrible. You really shouldn't stretch beyond what your body can support. And people get hurt in yoga a lot because of that. They often have the flexibility but not the muscle mass to support that flexibility. And so they pull ligaments and tendons and pull muscles and stuff. But certainly in that kind of a format where you have such great heat and the muscles are warm, you're going to stretch beyond what you really should be stretching.
Oh, dear. Right. So you don't find out till the next day.
Exactly.
That you've hurt yourself.
Exactly.
Well, see, one of the things, though, that is kind of a trap for some of us, that is kind of appealing,
mm-hmm.
is, and it's certainly hot yoga would fall into that category, the very extreme nature of it is part of what makes it appealing and motivating, because
right.
we, some of us, love extreme goals,
mm-hmm.
and find those extreme goals, or believe we find those extreme goals, as very motivating. So, you know, I'm not going to start a walking program. I start on Monday walking 10 miles per day,
mm-hmm.
right? That kind
right.
of extreme goal. That's why when Caroline Radway suggested that I just pick up one of my kettlebells and carry it across the room,
right,
I thought
that's not terribly exciting.
Right. Well, I had two conflicting thoughts. One was, yeah, that's perfect because I can do that. And then the other one was, yeah, but who wants to do that? You know,
right.
I want to juggle the kettlebells and, you know, and I can't even juggle a wiffle ball. So anyway, I just started thinking about different motivations to exercise, and I thought, you know, maybe I could go through some of them, and you could tell me just what you think about, you know, if they're promising, if it sounds like a way that I might could persuade myself, because as you know, I need to have some surgery, and I need to become stronger in order to permit me to do that. So I have a great incentive for this, and so I'm trying mm-hmm. to think about how can I talk myself into it,
mm-hmm.
You know, because apparently it's not a great enough incentive. I still need something else, something external to the basic issue. So I was just wondering, what do you think about the possibility if someone is having a real hard time getting started in an exercise program, they could just get drunk, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I think it would make you go to sleep, so maybe it's not a good one.
So you don't think so? Getting drunk is not, you know.
I mean, you could try it, see what happens. But in general, I don't know. Don't think so. Sorry.
Because see, you could probably be talked into it if you were drunk enough. You know, if you.
I get that, but you know, you might stumble and you know stump your toe or drop your kettlebell on your foot or something.
Mm, that's maybe. What I. You know, I've been totally afraid of that.
Yeah,
all right. What about? How do you feel about coordinating, you know, putting together a program? If a person were to put together a program of which jewelry they wanted to wear you know, for which portion of their workout, like kind of a jewelry-related.
If that's motivating to you, I think that's, you know, a fabulous idea. You'd look really good. You'd, you know, maybe you'd feel really good about yourself. It just depends on how often you need to change and how long it takes you to change. And are you talking about changing jewelry only, also clothing? I mean, I don't know how involved this gets.
I don't know, but, you know, when you're at the gym, you many times...
Do you have to go to the locker room to change the jewelry, or can you do it there, you know?
I don't know. I'm just beginning to explore this.
Okay.
You know, I don't have all the answers.
Formulate it further, and let's talk about it. But, you know, I can see some roadblocks, and then I can also see where it could work just fine.
Well, good. What about, how do you think, you know, you weren't too high, so to speak, on the idea that a person might get to the gym by first getting drunk. What about hypnosis? Do you think that might be...
Be hypnotized to work out?
Mm-hmm.
I like
a hypnotic suggestion, like, you know,
yeah, no, I like
you
it.
Shall work out. You shall work out.
Right. I like it. I like that one a lot. I think it's good.
Okay.
I'm going
okay.
for it, yeah.
What about if you just pay someone to cold cock you and drag you to the gym? You know, and then you just come to there and...
Well, that's basically what, you know, personal training is. Because if you don't go, you don't get your money back, you know.
I have that understanding of it. Okay, what about if I were to convince myself that I could develop some sort of new athletic skill, you know, and that would be my motive. Like, for example, Caroline Radway is... a champion windsurfer, you know, or
mm-hmm.
what if I were to take up surfing, for example?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you actually want to surf,
mm-hmm.
do you want to surf?
Well, I don't, you know, I like the songs. I like
okay.
the songs.
I'm saying no, that's not going to work for you. I don't hear any passion. It sounds very wishy-washy. You need to find the thing that you're passionate about. You know, passionate about in the physical world. What would that be?
Well,
hopscotch, jumping rope.
How about golf shoe collecting?
Golf shoe collecting. Okay. Well, that's actually a good goal because the fitness level required for that is not so extreme. So that's maybe a good goal to start with.
That is true. I think it is reachable, you know,
I have
shown a little bit of skill in that direction. But, you know, one of the things that I think I would like to promise our listeners that you would develop is some sort of exercise program that they could do during the entire month of June that would permit them essentially to train for they do it during the month of June 2010, and
mm-hmm.
it would permit them to participate to compete in the 2012 Olympics. But they could just go ahead and get it out of the way. They could go ahead and they could spend
they
the month
do it in
of June,
and then they don't have to do it anymore, and they're ready for 2012. Is this right?
Yeah,
I mean,
don't you think that would be a great idea? So they could do this, and then
uh-huh.
they could be ready to be on the Olympic beach volleyball team,
Okay. Well, I've got a great one.
Uh-huh.
I want all of your listeners and yourself to take your shoes off. Point your toes. Reach. Point so much you can feel the muscle on top of your shin. Point. Are you doing it?
I am a sucker for hypnosis too because I just go along with any suggestion. I have no choice. Since you're telling me to point my
toes,
you're doing
and
flex,
it.
I'm doing it. I have no control. Okay,
excellent.
Well, so, you know what? I think this is a very good program, and it really begs the question: why don't you have your own exercise book? Why don't you have your own exercise DVD? I mean, if you had an exercise book and a DVD, then I could you know, I could exploit that. I could exploit that. I could tell everyone about my sister.
Hey,
who has the best.
Hey, whoa, lady, I have no ambition. That would be antithetical to what I'm about. Why would I, you know, come on.
Well,
we've already gone
Holly,
over this.
Holly, one thing about it is you are a kind person, and I can definitely vouch for that. You know, as much as I frequently am humiliated by you and resent you, you know, on different occasions, I can really speak for the fact that you are very kind. And think about this. It is very unkind for you to come on this very popular radio show where our listeners really like to win prizes from the best-selling authors who appear here. For example, if you had a book, then we could give away two copies of your autographed book or your DVD.
But
and
you know what I'll do? I'll one-up that. I will give away three. You said two, right? Two copies?
Right.
Before? Three one-on-one sessions via the phone of fitness coaching for feet. We'll start with feet. There'll be 5-minute sessions, three of them, for free.
Oh,
Vic, do you have PayPal on your website? Do you have PayPal?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. If they want, they can book additional sessions. Anyone can.
For what? Like 5-minute feet exercise sessions for what, $200, something like that?
I'm on the East Coast. So, you know, I have to charge East Coast prices, but I'll just say my typical rate is $90 an hour, but I'll do $750 for 10. Now, they can't be an hour because we're doing it over the phone, and I get really tired talking on the phone. But I'll do 10 minute sessions for $750.
Yeah.
That seems fair, right?
I was thinking more like 3 5-minute sessions for, you know, $200 a piece, $500 for three.
$500 for three. Well, we can do that. I like that. It's different from my typical pricing structure, but since this is a special circumstance, sure, let's go for it. I'm there.
You're open to it. And the thing is, I am concerned that people who are listening to us are going to believe that we have a good relationship, and it's simply not true because, for the most part, you have ruined my life.
Oh. Well, okay.
And I think probably you should just go ahead and apologize for it.
For ruining your life?
Mm-hmm. Don't you think that is something that a person should feel sad and sorry about and a little bit guilty?
Well, but look, you have a successful talk radio show, a fabulous DVD recording, or CD recording on iTunes. You have a vast art collection, jewelry collection, golf shoe collection. How can a person such as yourself claim to have a ruined life? I would think maybe I've enhanced your life. Well, I'm so confused.
The truth of the matter is, you know, I am a pretty big deal.
I know. That's what ruined your life, please.
This is despite all the cruel things that you have done to me.
Let's go ahead. Let's hear it.
It's a prosecution. I am an accidental lawyer, after all. Okay.
I know. Let's see if this makes you feel better. Come on.
I think you should answer for these things. Right?
Okay, I'm prepared.
Holly, you have two children, a dog and a cat. You did not name any of these mammals after me.
This is true. And how could I possibly name one of my mammals after you? That would be really, really hard on them to have to live up to the high standard. that you've already forged. I mean,
excellent point.
I couldn't
still,
do that. What?
It still hurts me to the bone. You know, I do understand it would have been rough for them, but
mm-hmm.
I could have lived with that.
I think you need, I mean, typically this is so unusual for you, but I think this time you need to put that aside. I mean, that's not you. Just come on. Move on. What's next?
Well, you drive a better car than me, although, you know, since I'm kind of hip and all that, I don't say it that way. I say you have a better ride than me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all, you know, that's just your perspective. You know, I don't
mm-hmm.
really know that that's true or not. That sounds very subjective and,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't think we really need to talk about that anymore. What else?
Okay, insomnia. You know, I have a terrible problem with insomnia, and I think that you are the reason that I'm afraid of the dark.
Mm, okay, I think I know where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
That's all I care to say. It's just the way you've ruined my life. All right, how about this? You haven't introduced me to any handsome and wealthy men, you know? Since the,
mm-hmm.
you didn't while I was married, you haven't now that I'm divorced.
Mm, that's true, I haven't. But you're assuming that I know some, and that's
mm-hmm.
you know that's there's the rub. I don't really
mm-hmm.
know any.
How long do you think that excuse will stand?
It's all
know?
I got. It's all I got.
Just, all right. Well, here's another way you have ruined my life. Used to, since I was a starter child, you would just give in to anything I said. You know, you pretty
mm-hmm.
much idolized me, and who could blame you? But now you'll actually argue with me, and this show has been ample proof of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and there I thank you, because it's true, I was a pushover when I was younger, but as I've grown older, you've helped me become more confident and more secure with myself, and now I'm able to, assert myself and my opinions with great confidence that you'll still love me, and you'll still, you still care for me, and you nurture me as you always have, and, so thank you. I applaud you. I applaud you. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Listen to that. You know, I hope, and I'm sure she is, I hope Ann Curry is listening, because she'll be calling you for an interview. You know, she'll be wanting some of that. Well, uh-huh. You know, despite the fact that you still, even though you won't own up to it, have her in my life,
mm-hmm.
you have yourself actually taught me a few things.
Mm,
you know?
Okay, good. I'm happy to hear
not
that.
Not many, but a couple, you know. And I think there are things that only you could teach me. You know, I really
okay,
do.
Like,
I really feel that way.
Okay, I'm
well,
ready for
one
the burn.
Thing
I'm
is,
ready.
Well, it's, I mean, I think this is brilliant. For some people, this would seem obvious, but for me, you know, it really hasn't been, most of my life, been very obvious, but I have learned it from you. Only buy clothes that fit you.
Mm, mm-hmm. That's true, I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a personal thing I have.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you if it almost fits you, or if it's really cute but it doesn't really fit you, or if it's a really good price and it doesn't really fit you, forget about it.
That's
you
right,
will
I won't buy
only
it.
Buy it if it fits you perfectly. You know?
And looks really cute.
It looks really good. And that's the result. When you have that kind of attitude, you
right.
do not have a closet full of cute clothes that don't look good. You know?
Yes,
you have a closet with three outfits that look great, you know? So I just think you're brilliant, Erin. I have, you know, I want to claim that I've learned from you. But I don't know if I've learned it or not, but I do know that you are the only person who can you could teach me that, because very few people understand it to the extent that you do. Okay,
thank
here's
you.
Something. Here's something you taught me that, you know, you taught me this recently, and I have to say, it was a pretty good deal. I have not been a fan of Starbucks coffee. because even though I love coffee, Starbucks is a little bitter, and I know that they have kind of a light coffee, but, you know, I think who needs that? And I don't like all of those little sweet drinks that are really more like milkshakes and
right.
Just full of sugar and all of that. I know better than that. But you taught me about something they serve that I love, and it's not totally unhealthy, and that is a misto.
Mm-hmm. Better known as a cafe au lait to the rest of the world.
Yeah, but you know what? The reason I think I understand that, except that a lot of times the cafe au lait is sweet. You know, if you go to a coffee bar, you'll get one that's sweet. You have to be very careful or you'll, you know, it's just one more of those sweet drinks, right?
Yeah, I've never experienced that, but that's neither here nor there. That would be
okay.
Café au lait con sucre.
Mm-hmm. Well, at any rate, I go for the coffee and the milk, Holly. I go for it.
I'm glad. And you know what? It's a very sophisticated drink.
Well, I think so.
I think so, although
I suppose there's something childlike and wondrous about having a coffee that's just covered in whipped cream, you know. I suppose that has its benefits as well. At any rate, I'm glad you taught me two things, the clothes fitting.
Hey, I taught you a third thing.
No, that's it.
Yeah,
you
I did.
You only taught me two.
I taught you three. Take your shoes off, point, and flex. Didn't I teach you that? You've never done that before, right?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Holly Binge, for being my guest today. And thank you even more for being my sister. Not as if you had any choice in the matter at all. But, you know, I find it rather cool.
Well, thank you for having me as your guest. I'm so honored to close out Fitness Month on Women Are Not Funny Radio.
And, well, and particularly to get us ready 3 days away. Man, I'm going to be so ready for summer.
I know. Your cat.